While I've been here preaching and teaching among you, I've heard a common story a few times, and perhaps it's your story, or perhaps you know the one that I'm going to be talking about. But there's a particular story about a Sunday school teacher from the past who gave a lesson on friendship. This particular Sunday school teacher said, "Wait before you become friends with someone. Wait and see what they're going to do before you jump in and become friends with someone." Whether this method is new to you or if it's one that you've been using your whole life, and again, it may be that you apply it to friendships, or you might apply it to a new coworker, or a new neighbor, a new pastor, a new teacher, or the list can go on from there. But the book of Proverbs chimes in on finding good friends. It is true that we are to love everyone, but when it comes to those who will be our close friends, there are advantages to having those who are wise in Christ as our closest friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Who else could that be than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As we often sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. But Proverbs also says this in 13 verse 20, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Again, the author is not referring to the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom found in Christ Jesus. And so Christ is our wisdom, Christ is our friend, and as we come and hear his word, we become wise in Christ. And so it is good that we have friends that are wise in Christ among us. We know that Jesus is the source of our wisdom now, but there was a time that even his disciples did what that Sunday school teacher said. They waited to see where he was coming from. They didn't automatically trust everything that he was saying. They watched and waited and saw what he was doing. In our gospel text, Jesus reminds the disciples of this time of watching, but then also reveals to them that their relationship, not only with him, but even with God the Father, was about to change. It had been updated to a personal level. This morning, we'll explore how Jesus' relationship to his disciples and even our relationship to Jesus and the Father have been updated through Jesus' work. Our gospel text begins in the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. In the middle of Jesus' turn at speaking, our text begins with the following words. "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Knowing full well that the disciples had been watching him to see what he would do from the beginning, Jesus spoke to their thoughts. He told them that the time was coming when they would no longer, when they would rejoice and they would no longer need to question him. The time would be after his death and his resurrection. A few verses later, Jesus' disciples would tell him, "Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Yet Jesus then responds, "Do you now believe?" How many signs had Jesus' disciples seen him perform? All the way from the sign of changing the water into wine at the wedding at Cana to his raising of Lazarus from the dead. They had seen sign after sign giving them the knowledge and the full truth that he was the one prophesied in the Old Testament to come. He was fulfilling the prophecies. He was doing the things the Old Testament said the Messiah would do. But Jesus knew better. They claimed to know who he was already, but Jesus knew better. He knew what was to come. They had faith then, but he knew that more was to come. His crucifixion was to come. His resurrection was to come. The Holy Spirit coming upon them at Pentecost was to come. And even after all of that, the disciples would have trials and tribulations. Brothers and sisters in Christ, You also are witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection through the word of God. You also have received his Holy Spirit. But do you still question the work of Jesus in your life? Do you trust that God can bring good out of any situation, no matter what it is? Or do you rather trust in yourself to bring yourself through whatever situation? Or do you trust the government to bring yourself through the situation? Or do you trust others to bring yourself through a situation? The only way to trust Jesus fully is to go along with him no matter what. Even though those situations where you might think that you know better. After all, doesn't he tell us that for those who love God, all things work together for good? Yes, he tells us that in Romans chapter 8. So Jesus spoke about his upcoming death and resurrection and the day to come after it, when the disciples would know and trust him fully. Since we live after his resurrection and after Pentecost, we do know him and trust in him fully. Or at least as fully as he allows us to. There are some things that we don't know about God. Scripture tells us what we need to know about who he is and our salvation, but it doesn't tell us everything. We still trust him as a child trusts their dear father, as I was telling the children a few minutes ago. With that in mind, Jesus tells the disciples and us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Up to this point, Jesus' disciples had been going around with him, and perhaps they had asked him some favors, just one-on-one, like, "Hey, can you do this for me?" or "Hey, can you do that for me?" And they had been praying to God the Father. But up to that point, they had not prayed to God the Father in Jesus' name. Jesus then tells them to pray in his name that they might receive that for which they ask, so that their joy may be full. The same instructions apply to us. But does that mean that we can pray for anything and expect we can get it? Well, no, as I was just telling the children, no, we can't expect that. God will only grant those things which will turn our sorrows and our tribulations into joy, as only he knows how and as only he knows when. But what a gift that is, to be able to speak to God the Father himself. In that day, Jesus said, "You will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Though we may not be allowed to see God directly, as it says in Scripture, we will die if we see God. But we do have a direct line to God. We have prayer. And what an honor and a blessing it is that we can go to God, our Heavenly Father, and ask him for those things that we need and those things that we desire. And that we can trust him as a dear Heavenly Father to give us those things that we need for our true joy. We do not have to pray to Jesus so that he will then pray to God for us. No, we can pray to God directly because we trust in Jesus, the one he sent to save us from our sin and who did save us from our sin on the cross of Calvary. We can know that the Father hears us and wants to grant us those things which will give us those joys. Yet once Jesus has revealed that his disciples can approach God as their Heavenly Father, Jesus told him again that he was about to die. He said to them, "I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." Here again, we may be tempted, as the disciples were, to answer, "Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. That is why you believe that you came from God." The disciples answered that confidently. They answered it in faith. But again, God knew better. God knew what the disciples needed at that time, and he knew that they would need further faith. They would need further instruction in the faith from the Holy Spirit. That's why he tells them after their response, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone." Jesus knew the trials would be coming, and especially right away. He knew that he was going to the cross. He knew that he would suffer, and he already knew that the disciples would leave him to be crucified. He knew that that trial was coming, and so he tells them what is going to happen. But he also gives them good news. He gives them a word of hope. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart. I have overcome the world. While Jesus' disciples would be scattered at the cross, they would be brought back together in that locked room in the end of Luke. And even further, they would continue to be together until the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And when they would receive the Holy Spirit, they would go out and proclaim the good news of Christ crucified and risen throughout the world as they knew it. They had such faith through the Holy Spirit that they were even willing to die for their faith. And according to church tradition, many, if not all of them, did die for their faith. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have been given that same Holy Spirit, that you might have that same kind of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can have faith in that same gospel. You can call on your Heavenly Father for anything, at any time. Both those times that things are going well and easy, and those times of trials and tribulations. You know in faith that your Heavenly Father will hear you and will work all things together for your good, because you, through His Holy Spirit, have believed in the one He sent, His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again so that you know that you have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.